Welcome to the Penny Arcade ASMR Staff Podcast.
I like it.
All right. That's enough of that.
I get the joke. I really do. I've seen those. This is Dave Allen.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're falling asleep by now.
Yeah. Well, no. You don't fall asleep. Watermelon. It's too fast. Watermelon. No, it's sk, sk, sk.
All right. Anyway, this is Josh. You never seen an ASMR video, Eric?
Uh-uh.
Oh. Just check them out. They're interesting.
What's it stand for?
Good fun.
I don't remember.
Something complicated. I can't remember.
It's people slightly ugly talking.
I do know what you're talking about. Yeah, they did a podcast on this, I think, for Radiolab or something, kind of going into that whole culture.
Yeah.
Like there are YouTube videos that are just whispering.
Lots of them. Yeah.
What, people don't like talking?
No, people really like the sound of people whispering.
Yeah, or certain quietly. Other sounds that give you like the chills. Like make you just feel really good. You ever get the chills from something or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that.
Which is what we're here to talk about today.
No, that's
good. Just mess with you, Josh.
You should be in charge of people buying stuff because you're really good at selling product.
I do know what you're talking about, though. Yeah, yeah. I heard about that.
Anyway, what we're actually talking about is workouts and their schedules and other things of the like. With our svelte crew here.
Swolest crew here, largest pair of biceps. Jeez, Louise.
I feel like
rubber band to the face.
Firing a rubber band at Dave. That's part of my workout is shooting rubber bands at Dave.
That's real good.
But you
also have I belong here right now.
Pretty different workout.
Yeah, we do have three different disciplines. We have an injured discipline, another injured discipline, and then a non-injured.
Yeah, so I guess yours wins.
Yeah, I win.
Until you get injured. You're also the youngest.
Oh, no. I have a wrist injury that I just recovered from.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm back in full force.
Yeah, you are the youngest, right?
Yeah.
How old are you?
29.
So young.
How old are you, Eric?
Fuck. I forgot. I'm 33.
Okay. And Brian, you're 30.
I'm 34.
I was about to say you're 34. Josh, how old are you?
35.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I'm just a little.
What's it like?
It's,
being on top of the mountain.
1 year older than you.
Wow. That sounds really painful.
Yeah. I'll start with my workout schedule, which is playing tennis whenever the fuck I can, because that's all I have time for.
You got that tennis.
But I did just recently join a little doubles league. So it's sort of for fun, but it's actually also sort of for competition.
It's not a hashtag cardio.
Well, I mean, that's basically what the level of soccer that people play.
Yeah.
You're not trying to like get on the pro tour or anything, but you want to take it seriously. You want good games. Everybody wants to play.
Yeah.
So and I try just to improve. And
that's what I do with my World of Warcraft team.
Well, that's what we did that in arenas when we played. It wasn't about like winning necessarily. It was about like improving against the same group configurations. So it's like we played a team that was like all shamans. We'd be like, we've got to do better against them next time. Learn lessons.
It's good to pattern have those recognition, things, though, because you get that competitive energy out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's good.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of why, like, everyone asks me why I play. So this is Brian.
And hi, Brian.
I play. Part of my workout routine is basically the focus of it is that so I can play soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, why do you still play soccer? Because I seem to always hurt myself when I play. And it's like, but that's the whole point of it, right? Is like, that's how I measure my fitness.
I play. It doesn't matter because you like doing it. Like it doesn't matter how bad you get hurt. You still want to keep doing it. You just enjoy it.
Your body is only a vessel for playing soccer.
The creative expression of my skills. It's just, I don't know. Yeah, it's fun. And that sort of tests all the different aspects of it. You have a little bit of strength, a little bit of problem solving, quick brain kind of stuff. Keeping my temper in check. And then like... you know, stamina, speed. It's a little bit of everything.
Sports.
So you do that, but do you do any training for it? Like, what do you
do? Like a lot of soccer specific training. Like I tend to just do like broad cross training. My regular workout routine, when I'm firing on all cylinders, I'm totally healthy and I'm working out every day. I try to swim twice a week, row once a week, and then run twice a week. And then I do other stuff around it. I have a sort of warm up and cool down that has a little bit of core and upper body stuff like push-ups, sit-ups. But I don't really lift any weight. I never pick up a weight. The closest thing, I guess, is like sometimes I'll do some lat pull-downs on a machine.
Yeah.
Not here?
A I'll use ours. It's enough. Like the point is just to reinforce the muscle groups. Everything I do when I do any kind of strength training is whatever my stroke count is around there. Mm-hmm. I think it's like takes me 14 to 18 strokes to do a length right now. So I tend to do reps in that.
Reference. It's there. Low hanger.
If you wanted, yeah.
If you need to, just know that we know too.
Yeah. We're all listeners. Inside.
Laughing. Got it. Yeah. I'm not talking about that though.
No, we know.
I'm talking about.
But yeah, there's someone out there.
Way higher.
I mean, that's the number of reps that I do for that.
Yeah,
the
length, we know.
Yeah. With your running.
It's measured in yards.
With your running, is it just like 3 miles, slow jog? What are you doing?
Running is more of like a mental release than it is like a physical thing. I will do some hills in there if I run more than once a week, especially if I have a short amount of time. I'll do some hills and that feels like a little bit more like strength training. But for a while I was doing like, the one thing I did was every Saturday I ran 8 miles. I would run to Woodinville and back.
Gross.
On the trail here. And that was like, that's about the max that I'd ever want.
You stopped in Woodinville though, right? So it was 4.
I go out to that Hollywood like intersection on the trail there and then I turn around and come back.
Get drunk.
So so you would do it continuously?
4 mile out and back, yeah.
Oh, okay, okay. I thought maybe you were like doing something at the Commons and then coming back.
No, it's just, you know, there and back. It's just a nice, it's a pleasant view and it's an easy, there's not a lot of hills or anything mm-hmm. in there, so you can just kind of get into your rhythm and listen to your music and sort of decompress from the week. I tend to fall into an impatient pace where I just want to get done, so I end up picking up my pace at some point. I rarely run slowly, but I've never measured what that pace is. Mm-hmm. If I were guessing based on what I do on a treadmill, like 7 to 8 minute miles, something in there. Mm-hmm. Once I get kind of shaken out and I'm going, which is, that's a good pace.
No, that's very good. Especially
do anything to train for tennis, like exercises?
I only play tennis. I just play tennis until my body hurts.
Yeah.
And then I play more tennis after that.
Get on
that's
a resistance machine and just do this motion. All
right. Because, you could do something like that.
Yeah but tennis is not really about strength. Like, it doesn't matter too much how big your arms are unless you have some weird swing that relies on it. It's about...
But I mean, like, you could do like footwork agility, like lateral.
A lot
footwork.
Of this, like doing resistance to your whole stroke, like your stroke motion, having resistance attached to it, is more about like being fully aware of you feel your stroke for the whole thing, right? Because mm-hmm. like I remember javelin and throwers and track used to do that, where they'd attach and they'd do that, and the coach would watch them. But it was all about like get your feet in the right position and then feel your swing all the way through, and mm-hmm. then reset, and then so it's there's a little bit of strength there, but there's a lot of, it's more about awareness of technique.
I just play. I don't have time to
if you had more
else.
Time probably could be benefit with that.
Oh yeah, I would love to do that stuff. Like, I would love to
training,
you know,
montage.
Have a coach and stuff, but
do a montage.
I don't have time for that shit. Mm-hmm. Barely have time to play right now.
Got a montage.
I mean, swimming feels like the best workout that I get. Right. And then, but my primary fitness goal, how I'm measuring myself besides soccer, is the rowing challenge that we have downstairs, which is what you're in second right now, Dave.
I'm in second, but you're like God tier, man. You're way past anything that we could do.
I'm trying to.
I mean, your back is very thick. You have a very strong back because you've been rowing for a long time. It's swimming. You have been swimming.
Swimming. I didn't.
Yeah, that's where you got that back from.
So we have an erg machine downstairs. And which is the rowing machine. And we just started, like, I think it was Wally who set up the challenge originally, because he rowed in college. And so he was like, everything is measured by I guess a real race in rowing is 2000 meters.
Yeah.
So you would be sort of like how you would make the first boat, or like figure out where your ranking was in the team, is by these like rowing machine workouts where you'd try to measure yourself in 2000 meters. So we all have our like score up on the board, our time.
Yeah,
on the board.
Best. Hmm.
And so for the longest time, I was just trying to break 7 minutes. And now I want to get, my goal is to get down to 6:40. That's my like long-term goal.
That's an actual nightmare.
I mean, rowing's pretty brutal, but part of, I think, the difference between like, because at this point, I don't think that there's like a huge fitness thing. Maybe I have more cardio than, because you don't really
I'm sure you do.
So it's like lung capacity to keep going. But primarily, it's just that I think that I'm used to my body hurting from that. Because I do... A regular workout when I do is I do 500 meters on a minute rest, and I practice a pace that is faster than what I do on the 2000. It's like I just brutalize myself as much as I can. And if I go over 150 for one of them, then I have to add another to my set. And if I can drop, finish one below 140 in pace for the whole 500, then I get to drop one from the set. So I do five. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do six, sorry. Mm-hmm. So I might have to do seven or I might have to do five.
Oof.
Mm-hmm. But then by the time you finish one of those, like you feel good at the start. So you're like, this is gonna be my one that's below 140.
Yeah.
Then you're just exhausted, right? And then you have to do another one. And so then when I'm doing my 2000, I have that to fall back on. I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm not actually going to die now. I've felt like this before. You just keep pushing. You just find your rhythm, focus on punching your toes back or whatever, like a particular part of your technique. And that probably goes back to years of swimming, which is just like sheer brutality to your body, like your full body day in and day out. And you don't really have a choice. Right. There's nowhere you can go. You're out there on a deck in a Speedo. You can't like run and hide. There's no like hiding in the crowd.
There's no
you
could, resting like, in the middle.
Like
of
it's
the
like
water.
Maybe you could get away with doing like 80% of your normal, but everything's based on time and the coach knows your time and you're in a lane based on your time. Like there's no hiding. You just have to go in and do your workout every day and finish it. And the sooner you start it, the sooner you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that affected a lot of my work ethic through my entire life.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, rowing's tough. I would like to do more of rowing. I would also like to do swimming. I've never done swimming as an exercise, but it sounds like it's really good for your body, and it's something I want to do.
I did.
It's just there's not a lot of pools.
Yeah. Well,
that's the hard part.
That's the hard part. And then also, especially when it's cold out, is just first getting yourself into the water.
Mm.
After you're done, it feels great to go back in the cold, that mm-hmm. bracing moment where your body is hot from working out. But I did. For a while, I coached. I coached youth swimming, like a coach. I mostly focused on the older, so it was like middle school, just below middle school in that range. Because I was good at the technique part, but not good at the sort of like, this is how you swim to begin with. And I'm not good at wrangling children into like doing the thing that I want them to. If they're already focused on doing it, I'm good at that. But I also, on the side, had some friends who were doing triathlons who wanted to learn how to swim better. So I would coach them on technique a little bit. And then you can also ask Robert if I've been useful to him.
Yeah. You got him into the whole swimming thing.
Oh, really?
He's been swimming, and I think that he was already doing it on
his
own
because
he had the pool in his place, and he felt like it was a good workout that wasn't brutal on your joints.
Well, yeah, and he can do it anytime, like, because it's there.
And there's always a pool when you're traveling, right? It's like often there's hotel pools. I think that it was just like a good, convenient, and it's a great workout. But I think... I might have been early in teaching him technique or like making
I think you
him
got
aware
him serious
technique.
About it.
And then after that, I think he's done a lot of his own. Like I'd be curious if at this point how much credit he gives for his current technique mm-hmm. to like what I've told him and versus what he's kind of learned on his own.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want any point,
if I had a pool, then I would then that would be the next step is getting tips, but like I don't see
just
a pool.
Robert's pool.
Yeah.
That was my thing. If I can get back to where I'm swimming three times a week, I told him I'd swim once a week over at his place so we could start going working on technique. It's also like once someone's aware of technique, they can watch me and just tell me if I'm doing what I, because you can't see yourself swim. Mm-hmm. So I could be like, do my arms look relaxed above the water? It's mm-hmm. good to have a friend who can like look at what you're doing. Mm. But anyway, so that's what I do. I swim, I row, I run. Do some light weight stuff, a lot of push-ups, pull-ups, crunches. Now I have like some physical therapy stuff to strengthen my back up. I'm adding lunges. That's a new thing that I didn't do a lot of that I'm definitely adding a lot of because that seems to really help my back. Mm-hmm. And long-term, I might start doing some light squatting. Yeah.
So you're just doing body weight with the lunges?
Yeah. I might start adding a little bit more to that once I sort of get back. But all of that, again, is sort of measured around... The squats and all that kind of stuff would help me just improve at soccer and not be injured all the time.
Mm-hmm. Which is since I've known you.
Consistently.
You've just been in injury zone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We lifted like once together years ago.
When we were down in Portland, I did a workout with you.
Yeah, that's
it. It was really fun. For the past year, basically, I've been fighting this sort of back thing, which is in and of itself an answer to a bunch of other small injuries that all sort of focused ended up putting stress here. You get older, you heal slower. It's frustrating. I think that's one of the biggest things. Like once you hit 30, is being able to shut down, because you want to be able to do everything you used to do on the same calendar.
Yeah.
But you sometimes just have to let your body heal and it heals slower.
Everyone always spoke about that when I was like 23 and we'd go like play paintball and I'd like, you know, sprint, slide, do all that shit. And then I'd bring friends that were like about 30 or 30-ish. Mm-hmm. And they'd be like, as soon as you hit 30, you're never going to be the same. And I was like, no, man, I'll just keep up with you guys. Nope. I'm 29 and feeling the healing, just slowing down.
Yeah, it really, that's the biggest thing is like, I feel like I can do like 90% of everything that I could before. Imagine if we measured my run speed from like my mid 20s or early 20s to what it is now. I haven't really lost much. I have maybe lost a tiny bit of lateral quickness, but it's really just about being how often I can do it and how quickly I recover, like what the next day is like and what day two is like.
It's definitely recovery is the largest impact. Is the largest hit you take, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know if I've felt that yet. I haven't noticed any sort of...
Sometimes, well, there's things you can do to help that I learned. So clean eating.
How's your sleep?
Clean eating.
I sleep really well.
Sleeping enough, yeah.
How often do you... I mean, like, what's your average hours you get?
Eight. Yeah.
Probably super helpful.
4 to 6.
Really? Yeah.
That's not...
Yeah, and you are super conscious about your eating, really.
Pretty.
Yeah.
I mean, I do. My mom gave me quite a sweet tooth. So if you were to actually see how many sweets I have in a week, it's a good amount. But otherwise I try to keep it pretty.
Yeah. Keeping sugar down to like something manageable and balancing with a fair amount of fiber so your body can process it keeps the inflammation response down, allegedly. Mm. But I've felt that when I manage that, I'm not like a food expert, right? Yeah. But this is from my own testing, like that feels accurate. And when I'm like actively making sure I'm getting enough like leafy greens and stuff, that sort of seems to help some of my recovery too.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, it's all those vitamins that you're not really normally putting in there that help repair your muscles.
Yeah, and you need to make sure you like restock on things like magnesium and all the little like things that aren't, it's a little tougher to find in processed foods.
Yeah.
That otherwise you'll get cramps and stuff. It's just like all that's its own, like you balance all that with having a full-time job and a life. That's where it starts getting challenging, right? It's like, you work for all this time and then you want to juice regularly or like make a smoothie every morning. Well, that's another 20 minutes, you know? And so you start breaking down your day and it's like, you have to prioritize your own health and workout. You're going to start dropping out, like other things get deprioritized because of that. But I mean, you have a routine in the morning around just wellness, right? Like with a smoothie and.
Yeah. I have a whole morning routine. It doesn't necessarily all include exercise, but yeah, I wake up, I make the bed. That's step zero. Step zero.
I haven't made a bed in
what
years.
What a waste of time.
You are military ridiculous. Or anything? That's
it's. I started doing it like probably a year and a half, 2 years ago, and I think it's awesome. Actually, I'm the type of person. I'm fairly clean and minimal, and having the and I also live in a studio, and so the bed is visible always.
Yeah.
And so for me, there's something of the orderliness in my head is like it helps having that bed be made. It makes me feel like things are okay in my space. But also, there's a general, a famous like 5-star general, Stanley McChrystal, and he gave a really really good graduation speech, and you can find the YouTube video for it. But I've also heard some interviews with him later, and he gives kind of a list of things that are like military lessons that he learned and to apply them to your life as good life lessons. Hmm. And one of his bullet items is making the bed. And a part of the justification he gives for that is that no matter what the rest of your day turns into, you have done something. Like you're starting your day by doing something. It's something simple, but it's a task. You've accomplished it, and then
gonna undo when you at the end of your day.
Yeah.
Like you've actually made going to bed a harder task by tucking those sheets in and everything.
I mean, I also don't have a bed with like a bunch of pillows and shit on it. This is a pretty simple task.
So you are a modern gentleman. Like, how many throws do you have? Because, I mean, I have at least six.
I'm in the teens, to be honest.
You got that body pillow? You know what I'm talking about, son?
I'm
you get that body.
I'm throw my leg on it. You know what I'm saying? I can't.
Well, because you don't want to, if you sleep on, you don't want your knees to touch because that stresses the back
out. I sleep on my back.
So you got to.
Yeah.
You are a vampire. We get it.
Well, Josh drilled himself into sleeping like he's in a casket.
Yeah,
so remember, he's like this.
We were all talking about
this, like
we all talked about it
because my back was hurting super bad.
We talked about like how do you sleep one day, and Josh was like, "I sleep like this," and it was like arms crossed on his back, like sleep like the dead.
I have done that too.
It worked. It made my back feel way better. Like I have not had the back problems that I was having.
I mean, that matters, right?
It's like, way easier to transform into a bat when you start like this. It's just like, boom.
No,
it's
but like, seriously, bop, bop. You're asleep for a big percentage of your life. And if you're doing it in a position that hurts your body.
Well, yeah. I mean, my thoughts were I'm trying to keep my spine aligned as long as possible.
For me, it's about, I have a king size bed and I sleep in it alone. So it's about using as much as possible.
Yeah, I go starfish mode.
Manifest bedstiny.
Yeah.
Yeah, like okay.
All right.
Yeah. Not even mad. You can make a t-shirt. You should manage merch. You're good at selling things.
All right, so we got step one. Step one was making the bed. And then I drink a glass of water, room temperature. And then
so
I...
So specific.
And right. Then I do a set of stretches.
That activates your
it gets
drinking water first thing. It's your Gorgons going, right?
It gets, yeah. It's,
your
it's,
Gorgons?
It starts Gorgons, off the yeah. day just feeling good. It gets, yeah. Gets going in there. And then stretching. I do stretching, a set of stretches on a yoga mat type
stretch
thing.
Stretch cold? It doesn't do anything.
What?
You stretch cold, doesn't do anything. You know, warm up.
The stretching is the warming up of the muscles. It's kind of moving through a bunch of, to kind of wake them up, activate.
It's too modern for me.
Then I meditate, which is not an exercise. It's not a physical
exercise.
It's an
exercise for your brain.
It's an exercise for the mind. I meditate for, usually I do 7 minutes quiet. And because it started at 5, because it was like anybody can do 5 minutes, right? And so and then I've over time, I kind of creep it up. Sometimes I'll do like 11 or 12 minute guided meditation, sometimes even as much as 20. But like this morning, it was a 7 minute silent meditation. And I do view that as an exercise for the mind. Like it's just me trying to control where I'm thinking. And then I make a smoothie. And the smoothie's got a bunch of good stuff in it. Veggies and fruit and protein.
Heroin.
Heroin, yep.
Some kind of opiate, right? I'm not going to shoehorn you in. Something that's organic, locally sourced.
Yeah, of course.
Opiate.
And then I come into work. I used to come into work and exercise, right? Like it would be the smoothie, come into work, exercise. And then I've stopped doing that. And I really like not doing that because I'm a morning person. And I feel like my mind is sharpest in the morning. And so I come into work now and I do a couple of hours of work. Hmm. Just kind of try to dive straight into the hardest things that I have to do for the day.
You eat your biggest frog.
Yeah. Yeah. To put it that way.
To use a business book. Yeah, like one of those like every man.
It's true though. I've for me as a morning person, I've found it to be really good when I can do that. Like it's super, super productive. Yeah. And so I really like it. And then I go exercise right before lunch. And my workout routine, the workout thing is actually changed for me a lot in the last couple of months. So I started working out in middle school. Like I started working out in eighth grade. It's like going to a gym that my mom was a member at and like, you know, doing leg presses and reps. All this shit. It's in eighth grade. It was way too young to be doing that. Like looking back at it, I wouldn't have my kid do that because it's not good for your growing joints.
As long as you do it right, it's fine.
Well, I mean, it depends on how hard you're trying to push weight and like, you know, like you wouldn't want to do bodybuilding as a developing 12-year-old, you know? Like
I think it's fine as long as you are doing it right and stretching properly. The problem is a lot of people don't do the proper stretching to relax the muscles back.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I feel like I've heard studies about the joint stuff specifically. Not the muscle.
Got a lot of bro science here. I need some facts.
But
yeah.
Like your joint should be better for you then. Your joints are supple.
It depends on what you're doing, I think. But anyway, so I started with working out in the gym at that age, and I've basically been working out since then, like 3-4 times a week in terms of like lifting in the gym. Mm-hmm. And for most of that time, I've had a routine where I do one day is chest and arms, one day is back and shoulders, another day is core, and another day is legs. So kind of breaking the body into those four groups is what I've been doing for years and years. And recently I've had to change that around entirely because what happened is I have a history of dislocating my shoulder, both shoulders. I've dislocated them a bunch of times.
Gross.
And it got to a place where The most recent one was dislocated while exercising. It was doing a shoulder press. And so then I went to physical therapy. I've been to physical therapy probably for my shoulder. I think this was the third or fourth time. And the physical therapist was basically kind of working through my workout routine and is like, all these things you're doing, like pretty much half of the things you're doing are bad for your shoulder. Like squats, having the bar behind my head like this and this shoulder position, bad. Pull-ups, bad. Bench press, bad. Just like working through this full list. Like, you know, not all of them are shoulder exercises. A lot of them are more not, but it was just putting my shoulder in a shit position.
Yeah.
So I... For the first time ever, like, because I've been working out for, it's been 21 years. First time I got a personal trainer and like had him give me workouts for my shoulder. And it was somebody who had experience with shoulder injuries. He went through the whole thing himself where he had dislocated it a bunch of times that it was like, if he does it again, it's surgery. So he custom designed this routine that would still give him like full body strength, but without jeopardizing his shoulder. And he did that for a year, and then he was like playing football, and he dove for a ball with his arm out and dislocated it again, and had to get the surgery. But so it's that routine that he designed is what I've been applying now for the last 2 months. And instead of broken into the groups I mentioned before, which is like chest and arms, back and shoulder, legs and core, this one is more where you do kind of like full body stuff every day, but it's based around like movement. Mm-hmm. So there's like knee movement exercises, hip movement exercises, shoulder movement exercises, core stabilization and movement exercises, and all of those in one day. And then also thrown on top of that is some, because I'm interested in it, some like footwork agility exercises. So like box jumps and side-to-side lateral shuffles and stuff like that. So I'm doing all these different like lunges on sliders, reverse lunges, lateral lunges, doing different deadlift things. And all of them have kind of been manipulated so that it's not hurting my shoulder. So like I'm doing these instead of doing squats, which I could do if there's these squat bars that have handles in front.
Could you do the front one though?
That one is tough for me as well.
You're still really pronating, you're like, you can feel the strength from it. You're still putting weird pressure on your shoulder when you hold like this.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not pulling them apart.
It's not as bad, but
you're still, I mean, like you're still sort of here, right?
No, you're in a front rack, so
yeah,
your elbows
right
are
you're
super in
like,
front of you.
Yeah.
It's just resting on there. So
yeah, it just touches here and your fingers hold.
I don't know how much tension there would be compared to, but like an easy squat bar essentially is what you're
saying. Yeah, there are squat bars that have this like these handles that come in front where your shoulders are and they're like perpendicular to the bar. So there, you kind of hold them like this, and that's pretty safe for me. But those bars are expensive.
Yeah, they're
and so we haven't got one yet. But so I'm not doing that. So instead of doing that, I'm doing this thing where like I lie, I sit on the ground with my back.
Visualize doing a squat.
with my back to a bench, and kind of with my arms like resting on the bench. And I take a bar with a thick pad between it, and I kind of rest it on my hips, and I do like these bridges. Basically, I'm thrusting my hips up.
It looks really cool.
So it's great for
sexy
for glutes and for the backs of the legs. It's like it's kind of a squat replacement, but it doesn't interact with my shoulders at all. And so like that's an example of an adjustment. But it's, so entirely different routine based on those movements, and I really like it. Like so far, I feel like my overall fitness is better. Like I'm just in a healthier place when it comes to movement, which for me, like, because part of what I was asking Brian and Josh when we started was that do you do supplementary exercises to the activities that you really care about? And what I started thinking about as I injured my shoulder is I'm like, I'm injuring my shoulder doing shoulder presses, but are shoulder presses helping me do things I want to do? And the answer wasn't really. Like mostly the activity I care about lately is ping pong. Like I probably am playing at this point more ping pong than anybody in the office.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy ping pong. And so I started asking why I wasn't adjusting my workout to be better for ping pong. And so that's where I've added like the footwork agility stuff because I feel like that's going to be helpful and removed exercises that are dislocating my shoulder because that's definitely, less dislocating of shoulder is going to be great for ping pong. So that's kind of where I've been at lately is those adjustments, and I'm really liking it. I also try to run once a week, and I try to vary those runs. Some of them are kind of longer distance at slower paces, and sometimes I'll do sprinting, sometimes I'll do uphill stuff. So I try to do that once or twice a week in the like 3 to 7 mile range. And I also do yoga, try to do that once a week. That's kind of a good stretching, muscle loosening activity, which is kind of balancing the working out. I also try to get a massage once a month, which is again kind of like to counterbalance the weight training and lifting. I think that's most of my routine. I'm going to go to a bar class for the first time.
In Redmond?
No, it's in Bellevue. But I'm being pulled in to that. But that'll be interesting.
A girl making you do that?
So. Yeah.
I have a friend who does bar.
Bar.
She does bar and then she does Krav Maga. It's like
those are different.
Bar is like based on ballet, right?
What I heard is it's a mix between Pilates and ballet.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Pilates. Done.
Yeah.
Trademark.
Yeah. Why do they call it bar? Yeah. Right?
Third sale of the podcast.
Yep. I think that's my routine. Ping pong, a good amount of ping pong.
Yeah.
How about Dave?
I...
As he says that, he flexes his pecs.
No, that was natural. I can't not talk.
I know. They keep doing it. What the fuck is going on over there? Jesus Christ.
My shit just dances. I'm in pursuit of the gains. I do some sports. If I were to give the four things that I really like doing, it would be rock climbing, skateboarding, trampolines.
Netrunner.
And netrunner. So, and there's a lot of wrist activity that goes in there. No, the last one is weightlifting, and in the Olympic weightlifting sense. So I started lifting generally, I think about 2.5 years ago in a serious manner, to where I had like a full routine and diet change and all that. And I really liked it. And I kept progressing at it. And then I asked myself, what am I doing this for? I'm not training for anything specifically, because me lifting doesn't really help out skateboarding, which at the time was the only thing I really got into. And I decided that I liked actually lifting so much that I wanted to lift as a competitive sport. So I joined a gym that trained Olympic weightlifting specifically. And that is two movements that involve the barbell starting at the on the floor and going overhead in various ways.
What are those called?
They're called the clean and jerk.
Whoa! You are what you lift.
Yeah, and then the snatch.
Snatch.
Hey, you, anyway. Yeah, then, both like, of them for, pretty great for names. Cause
this is funny because like you were still relatively early when I was down in Portland. And this is the one time we worked out together and we did some snatches together, and I had done them in college.
Yeah.
As part of like my track workouts, and I hated snatches because I always felt like I was doing them fine.
Yeah.
And the coach would be like, no, you're doing it wrong. And like get in my face and yell at me. And then I would do like the same thing and be like, good, much better. And I'm like, I didn't change anything.
You were angry.
And I still didn't really know the difference. It was like, it's about like sort of what you do with your hips, but
the hips are kind of one of the most important parts.
Those are both exercises that just me looking at them, they'll blow
your
arms
off your body.
just looking at them.
I know you watched me do like a snatch before.
It hurts.
And you're just like, Jesus Christ.
They feel like they're barely in control. Like sometimes when you pop and you get them up high and you're like balancing it here, I'm always like, oh no.
Yeah.
Because he's very tall too. So it's always here he goes.
I am 6'6 and I'm not mechanically created to do this. And... It's not great.
Because
I lifted yesterday with Justin, who works for Reed Pop, who puts on packs, and he's like 5. Could you give an estimate
six?
Properly? 5'6",
yeah, like
maybe.
Five, maybe.
Six.
He's very compact.
Yeah, he's very compact. He's
got
strong.
Big arms.
He's strong as shit. Yeah. But he was like, you know, he would catch a snatch and like stand up, and it'd be hardly anything. Whereas my path to get up there is actually 2 to 3 times farther than that. It was absolutely insane. So I am pretty jealous that he doesn't have to move the bar as much as I do. But that's fine. I'm not mechanically suited for it. So I am on a 5-day week program, and on my off days, I climb rocks. So that's kind of how that goes. I'm following specific coaching via an online coach that involves mostly full body stuff every day, a lot of repetitive movement of those two movements, and splitting those up into sections to kind of work out the kinks and drill the catch in various different parts of that, and then squats because leg strength is super important to those specifically. I don't bench very much, even though I got these dancing pecs for you, Josh. I bench probably once every 2 weeks, just because I try not to let things fall out of balance too much. So if my back's getting super strong, I know that benching probably wouldn't hurt it either. I also fit in rowing probably 3 days a week, whenever possible, if I'm not too tired after lifting.
But you're not trying to max that, right? You're just sort of doing it to do the motions, or are you going for your best time?
I'll go for my best time once a week, but I have not beaten 727 as my...
When I was down there yelling at you.
Yeah, no, when you were watching me and like gave me the like toes tips, like that was my best time, and I haven't gotten far. I've gotten like 731. That was like the closest I've gotten to that time. But yeah, I'll fit that in somewhere at our gym downstairs or at a gym.
It's my
Ballard on the weekend.
I think it's my usually I try to do a little trip right after PAX is done, because PAX is pretty taxing on the body.
Yeah. I mean, so, I've worked out during PAX, and I don't think I'm going to do that anymore.
Yeah, I did it at East last East. I had a little routine. Yeah. But the hours are too long now. Or they always are. But as soon as PAX is done, for Prime, I try to just get away for a day or two. Yeah. Go somewhere. Like last year, I went to the Ho Rainforest. Now, the state's on fire, so you can't really go anywhere.
Yeah,
anyway.
You're trapped here.
So my new plan this year is to take a week. It's essentially a staycation where I just flip my priorities, and my primary priority is going to be working out and wellness and like locking in some of those. So I'm going to have a week, full week, or like I think 9 days or something like that. We're going to work out like twice a day, lighter workouts, focus on getting my back right. So doing all my physical therapy, like at least 3 times a day, like really intent, like focus sessions of that. And then when I have time, I'll fit work stuff in and all that kind of stuff there. But it's just like changing the priority around, make sure I'm getting enough sleep, catching up on sleep, eating right, particularly concentrate on like limiting caffeine. Mm. No, like it's like a reset week.
Yeah.
I don't believe in cleanses. I think those are weird.
Sure.
And they can't, like any kind of extreme thing you do to your body is probably not good for your body. But having an actively conscious like week of health stuff, I think will be good.
Yeah.
And then when I'm done with that, hopefully my back will feel good enough to start going after my time again and rowing.
Sure.
And then we can schedule a day where we go for it. We go
for
get
max,
at it.
Max effort days.
Get some.
That sounds
great.
You should do it. For
yeah,
sure.
Get some.
You can do it after Prime?
Yeah.
Yeah. After Prime. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Although you did say one thing that I would contend with. You talked about doing extreme things for your body. I have heard that there seems to be a lot of data that every once in a while not eating, like doing a fasting day, mm-hmm. is like super good for your body. It seems to be one of the best things for longevity. There's something about the taxing that it does on your like immune system and other things, like the way that it exercises your
organs.
I'm
Jewish.
Is great.
I get one of those days built into my.
Yes,
my
no, and that's a part of some of the science is that like that stuff works really well. And so if you're not,
so Yom Kippur is my cleanse day. You're calling
because I tried
the soul and the body.
I tried to do that for a little while. I tried to like every 2 weeks have one day where I didn't eat, and I did it for a couple of rounds, and the primary thing that I learned from it, and I want to keep doing it, I want to like reinstitute
and I love eating.
Oh, fucking
really
love
important.
Eating. I
really important
do.
And I tend to not pass out when I eat.
I do. I really do love eating. I'm a big fan. And the way that I was doing is I would have a breakfast, a smoothie or whatever, and coffee, because I am at a
sensible
place where I get a headache.
A smoothie for dinner.
If I don't have coffee, so I would have that, but then not eat for the rest of the day, and so go to sleep hungry, and then wake up in the morning and have food. My dreams that night entirely about food, like just so obsessive about food. And then by the time you wake up in the morning, make it to that, the food is so good. But I But I really liked it. I really liked doing it, even just as an exercise to prove to myself, like, because there are times where, like, I'll be hungry before lunch, and I'm like, God, I'm so fucking hungry right now. And then I remember, I'm like, dude, you didn't eat for a whole day. You're going to be okay. But, like, in my head, there's that first reaction. It's like, yeah. I'm going to fucking die right now.
That's what I always like that about, I do like that about Yom Kippur. I like it's a day of fasting in Jewish tradition. And I liked it because you're fasting, but you're fasting for a reason other than the sake of fasting. Like, so you're aware that you're not eating and you're hungry and you try to maintain consciousness of that, but really you're thinking about other stuff. You're supposed to be thinking about, like, I think technically you're supposed to be repenting.
Mm.
But since I live a clean life and I have nothing to repent
sure,
for,
sure.
Yeah.
I spend the time just...
Your bed's always empty. And you're alone.
Stop yeah, well, sure. I mean, there's no space for anyone else because I'm all spread out because of manifest... Bedstiny. Thank you. It's still good. It's still good. but I tend to use that and to reflect on other things, right? And so it's nice. I don't have to, like, I have something else I'm sort of force fed thinking about in some ways. And that might be something different every year that I tell myself I'm going to do, but it's designed for that. So I don't really think about the food thing so much as, like, anytime I think I'm hungry, I'm like, oh, there's a reason. It's almost like a meditation thing where it's like, you know, whenever you find your mind wandering, there's a thing that it will wander to automatically, which is, you know, it would be great as food right now. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, no, don't. We're not thinking about that. We're thinking about this other thing. So, hey, maybe you can combine your mindful meditation with fasting.
Yeah, I do want to bring that back. I think it's worth doing.
Yeah, what you should do, don't eat the whole day. Stay in a dark room and meditate the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Their arms folded crazy. Like this.
Well, at meditation retreats, I imagine they do stuff in that direction.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, you have to go to one of those. What are those rooms where sound is completely cut off?
Ooh, yeah, that's supposed to be scary.
Chamber.
Yeah. Meditate
go
in there.
Go to float tanks.
Right.
Let's get that, real on yeah, some that's, of that. Let's
oh,
do
yeah,
it.
There you go.
Let's go to Portland.
I sure
get wrecked on it's some.
Some people really.
Portland has a good float tanks. I'm sure there's
rich
some here.
Experiences.
Yeah, I think
in
there's
there.
One in Fremont.
Oh, like, yeah. Well. Place in Fremont. Joe Rogan says I should take DMT and then go in a float tank, so I'm listening to him.
I don't even know what DMT. What is DMT?
Yeah, what is that?
It's a very powerful hallucinogenic.
Oh.
It's short, right? Is that the one that's short, like 10 minutes or something?
I'm not educated enough as the residential straight edge kid.
Like, yeah. No, I've heard, yeah, that seems like that's an interesting.
All I know is you talk to snakes. Everybody who does it talks to snakes.
Oh, yeah.
They say, you're not supposed to be here. Why are you here? It's crazy. They all say the same thing. It's like a realm.
Yeah, but now that you've said like that to me, if I were to take DMT, it's going to be
in
my
head. Can I watch you?
You planted it
I will
in my head.
I will gladly babysit you.
You'll be a snake, but I'll have Dave's face on it.
We can go to Arizona and do some peyote or something.
I think the two of us don't do any drugs, so it's up to you.
Yeah, this is for you. Well, drug cast is next.
Yeah, you guys, where you drink, you don't do anything. Dave doesn't do anything.
Really boring.
Brian loves wine.
Josh drinks, but only like once a year, all at once.
Yeah,
it's like his fasting. And when he does, it is really interesting.
You said when he drinks, it's really interesting?
It's
when I get drunk.
Okay.
Yeah, when Josh gets drunk.
How different are you? In what way?
He's a different
I'm
human.
Crazy.
Yeah, he
like
gets
what?
Real weird.
Like energetic.
Crazy, loud, not, energetic. Like I'm just.
That's
like
not what this podcast
wall.
Is for. That's not what it's for. I'll tell you later. And maybe we can tell the Josh story when we were in Hawaii on Halloween and I drove the car. First of all, I mean, just as an example, I drove from our like house that we were in into downtown Maui, and then I drove back. And on the drive back, Josh asked me if I was okay 30 times. Like easily 30 times. Like, Brian, are you okay? You okay? Is everything okay up there? Like he was very concerned
for
his driver.
Like regular old Josh to me.
No, but he was interrupting. He would stop. Like keep in mind that was very different from the rest of what he was doing the whole time. It was like just like he would pause what he was doing and like lean forward, like Brian, are you okay? How's it going up here? Is everything good? You're good? Okay, good. Anyway, back to this crazy thing that I was talking about.
Yep.
Okay.
I just let it all go.
Cthulhu, self-Cthulhu dysmorphia fantasy.
I will take on any topic and go to the extreme.
We drank, that was when we had the pear vodka.
Yeah.
And it was like gross. We all hated it. And Josh was like, it's fine. And then like, you would drink them from the bottle. And then someone else would try and be like, oh, this is gross. And be like, no, it's great. And the next person would be like, it's gross. So it was very intense and swift. And yeah. Anyway.
So is that super rare? Do you
not? Yeah, I don't do that very often. No, yeah.
That's drink or get drunk?
Get super drunk. Yeah. If I'm getting drunk, I'm getting wasted. Like, I just hit a point where I'm like, alcohol doesn't matter anymore. I'm just going to keep drinking it.
Yeah.
Whatever. This is great. I'm fucked up.
Yeah. I don't drink at all.
I'm going to live forever.
But otherwise, you know, I'll drink occasionally, you know, beer or whatever. I don't drink a lot, though, even.
I'm on the house that drinks all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't have, like,
a flask. Yeah, your desk.
I don't even, I try to not, it's just like with caffeine, I take days off, consciously take days off of it. But a glass of wine with dinner, that kind of thing, I like doing that.
It's good for you.
Supposedly. Yeah. And it's arguable, right? But like.
Yeah, it's debatable.
My theory is that it thins your blood minorly and that helps everything kind of go faster and easier. Like gives your heart a little break,
mm-hmm.
pushing thinner blood around and then it's back to normal. So if you do it all the time, it's not good for you. But if you do it once in a while, then. It's a nice little recharge for your body.
Coffee is also supposed to be good for you.
I'm not a doctor, so what do I know?
True.
Hmm. Lots of fact. Science here.
Hmm.
I thought there was a lot of science that. Behind like caffeine being really good for your brain.
Yeah.
But so. True.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why does it hurt it so bad when you don't have it?
Yeah. It does.
You're
it
lacking
hurts
those
for me.
Those building materials.
You need those blood vessels.
I think that we've probably, it seems like we've hit an end to what we have of useful, of useful knowledge.
I feel like we could talk about health for quite some time, but I think we're probably at a good spot. Yeah.
I also work on my grip strength.
Got hey, me the, too.
Squeezy grip things on my desk.
That's important for me.
No, it's not for jerking off.
No. See, that's called jerking off.
Oh, yeah. I don't do that at my desk.
Anymore.
No, this actually
that's
helpful.
Why you have that big monitor
ever since
so
the
close.
Accident.
Yeah.
Grip strength is underrated. It's important, I think.
Well, it's like, yeah, it's like one of the you touch points, how you interact with the thing. Doesn't matter how strong you are. If you
also,
your hand.
If I know much about movies, you're going to hang over a precipice pretty often, and mm-hmm. being able to pull yourself back up is mm-hmm. pretty important.
That's true.
Or like pull the kid up, right?
Yeah, or pull a child up.
Right. Then you got to use those biceps.
So remember to lift with your legs, not with your back.
Yep. Keep things
Do you have
straight.
Any other like, do we have any cliched phrases?
Tighten
for
your core.
Well?
Use your core.
Well, and grip whenever you're doing a bar thing, like just try
squeeze
to crush the bar. That's really helpful.
Bar.
It's true.
That's good for core, weightlifting and for
and
life.
Grip. Yep.
Crush the bar.
Crush it.
Whatever
the bar is crush in it. Your situation.
Yeah.
Crush it.
Imagine it as a bar. Visualize.
Yeah.
Crush.
Right.
I don't know. What something else, Dave. Look like you were going to say something.
Oh, I was mostly thinking. I always want the idea of a Iron Church shirt. Because Jerry always writes news posts about the Iron Church. But if you have interest, you should probably reach out to me on Twitter and let me know. Or, you know, email.
Yeah.
The email address that Josh has talked about. And he'll forward it to me. But we're just wondering if that would work out.
Here, I have one question that we can use as a closing thing here. So we have our little gym downstairs, right?
We've got.
And it's decently stocked. We have a crappy bike that we could probably.
It's broken, right? Like it doesn't work.
It does okay. I think it needs to be plugged in, but we could probably just get like a, we could get a like a one of those spinning bikes or something if we wanted that.
I'm not interested. Bike.
But we've got a little Nautilus machine kind of thing. We've got a pull-up bar and a dip thing, and then we've got your Olympic weight stuff. And we have a rowing machine
and a rack,
and we have a treadmill. What would you? What do we think you're missing? If we could get one thing. What would
I want Eric's one like thing. I want to get rid of that white thing. It's like a like an all-in-one gym thing mm-hmm. that we've got. With
that
like,
was like the first piece of equipment before you did yeah. your Iron Man.
And yeah. it's real bad. It's shit.
It's better than a Bowflex or something.
I don't
Wayne.
Use it. The resistance is so inconsistent in a bunch of different of the vectors or whatever, the exercises that you might want to do on it that I don't. Use it. The only thing I use it for is the band that Dave has stuck on it, the real thick band that you use for stretching.
Yep.
Like that's the I only use it as a pole upon which.
So you just want to get rid of that for the.
So I want
real
to replace
estate.
That with there's at a lot of gyms they have these machines with these two vertical like rails that you can attach like cables and lock them in at different heights, mm-hmm. and so you can do like have it locked in high to do pull downs, pull downs, or you could lock it in like in the middle to do kind of shoulder exercises or rows. So I want that because I think it would be versatile. And a lot of the exercises that I'm doing at this point are based around those types of cable movements. So that's what I want to add. I want to swap those two things.
Okay. You have anything?
I bought a pull-up bar around Christmas. Yeah. God damn it.
We still haven't installed it.
And
I would love that thing.
A contractor would charge $225 to install it when I paid about $175 for the bar itself. So I don't want
to... You just have to screw it in the wall, right?
We have super thick concrete walls.
But I mean...
We tried. There's a hole in the wall. It didn't go all the way through.
But if you want to do it, Josh...
Yeah, if you can figure it out, holy shit.
You want to get drunk and then just go wild.
We didn't want to fuck it up, and we're going to have, we're going to be yanking on it pretty hard. We want it to be done right.
Yeah.
And, you don't want that coming down on you. It's heavy.
Yeah, especially because when I have that kind of pull-up bar, because the one we have now, I can't really do it on.
No, it's not.
Where I do the L pull-ups.
Yep.
And you don't.
What are you saying with your feet? With your legs?
Yeah, you put your L shape. Pull-ups. And then if you if the bar falls, then you're just falling right on your
head. We want it done right. We kind of started on it and was like, we don't understand this well enough.
We didn't really talk about the sled we have, though. We do have a power.
I work in the sled. Did that today?
I saw you do that today. That is just, it's an instrument of torture, essentially, that you just load up and you're done real quick. It's super high intensity, but you can push it, pull it. And since we have the warehouse right there, doing just a few back and forth after that will pretty much murder you. It has a warning on it that says, careful not to do this too much or you might throw up, essentially. It's like it's called the Prowler Flu, and they all have them on it because all your blood just goes to your legs and out of your stomach and you throw up. And it's nearly happened to me quite a few times.
I'm excited to get to a place where I can do the sled because I will crush you all at it.
Maybe the poles, but the push. That'd actually be a good, we could try to time it and get some lines.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty great.
Get back and forth, like an obstacle course.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be fun.
I think Dave Kaufman's the same place where it would be nice to have a really good exercise bike in there. We both,
I think,
especially
like a spin,
for the cold weather,
spin type.
Wet times, just to be able to. I like it because it's a low impact warm up, gets the blood going, and then I can do all my other stuff.
Does anyone use the treadmill?
I do every once
you do?
In a while. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Some people walk on it.
Okay. Okay.
Like Kiko and Mike, I think.
Okay. Interesting.
You need that sort of stuff just for people to do warm-ups on before they jump right into doing
squats. It's also a really good treadmill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that bike could probably
I've never
be replaced
it.
By a better one.
There's Dylan brought that in. He just had it around the house, and we didn't know what it was. It's fine. I use it as it is sometimes just to warm up because I don't want to, when my back hurts, I don't want to do anything else. If we had an elliptical, maybe I'd use that. I know you were an elliptical person.
Yeah, I like ellipticals way better.
Yeah.
We'd go, back when we were in Fremont, Josh and I would go to the gym together a lot. And Josh would just do 45 minutes of straight just sprinting on an elliptical, it looked like.
Yeah, that's one of my days.
Yeah.
Because, it does your arms and your legs, so that's pretty good. Yeah.
I'd walk by him and he'd just give me a dirty look.
We have our dumbbells go up to 55.
I mean, rowing does the arms and the legs, too. It's good for that.
Yeah, but that's like jerking. This is like constant. Like it's just nonstop.
Well, if you're doing rowing right, it's not very jerky.
Yeah, I guess.
I think rowing's pretty great for that full body thing.
And you're just basically doing squats in a seated position.
Yeah, I feel like that's where I'm weak at it. It's just my legs are not strong enough for that to do. I need to work on that.
Well, this has been fun, guys, talking about workouts.
There's one other topic I wanted to mention real quick, which is, I don't know if there are people who are listening who don't exercise but are thinking about it, but there's a bunch of podcasts I listen to that talk about this. Like one is Tim Ferriss, who did the 4-Hour Body.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're thinking about it, my recommendation is don't come up with this big plan and try to start off by going super hard. Start as simple as you possibly can. I think the hardest part of working out is getting out the door with your gear on. If you can do that, then it's downhill from there. So just don't set a bar that's too high to jump over. Seriously, just do 5 push-ups. Just go for a 1-mile run or a 1/2-mile run, whatever for you seems reasonable. The doing of it, getting out and or getting on the ground and doing a push-up, that's the hard part. And then when you go from doing 3 push-ups to 10 push-ups to 20 push-ups, that's easy. That comes over time. And, you know, and maybe you never get there. Maybe you always, you're just doing, you know, 5 push-ups every, you know, 30 minutes when you're watching TV or whatever.
Well, it has an addictive element.
Yeah.
In its own way, like you do this, your 5 push-ups, you get your like short run in. You feel better usually after. I mean, you might hurt a little bit, but like long-term you tend to kind of feel better. And then
to me, it's the chasing the progression. Just the fact that you could do 5 and you've never done 5 before, but it's like the next time you do it, you do 6. Mm-hmm. Like any time. I remember my first pull-up and it wasn't even that long ago. Like I'd never been able to do a full pull-up myself. And then
aiming to do a muscle up?
I would love to be able to do a muscle up, but that's going to be some training.
What do you need that on? You need like
what's a pull-up
bar?
You could do it on the pull-up bar.
I want to try to do a muscle
up. Or some rings if we could get those, but that's in the future.
I don't know what a muscle up is. It's when you go from like, you're on the ground, you're hanging position, and you go from there to here.
Oh,
like totally locked. So you go to
your shoulders would pull out of your body.
You pull.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You do a pull-up, and then you do that into like essentially like a, what is this?
Dip.
Like a dip.
Yeah.
Kind of. But you're pushing yourself up to like an arm lock fully. Your hands are at your waist.
Yeah, the shoulder, that's a lot of stress on
the
shoulder.
Rings, yeah. The rings make it less. I think
that'd be worse for your shoulders because
you rotate all the way around.
No, you start it like this and you use your body, you like swing forward to like cheat it at first. You're really strict.
Yeah, the rings make it a little bit easier.
So we've gone from talking about light introductory exercises.
Anyway,
people do like this and go,
Olympic gymnast.
That's like the Olympic gymnast style.
Yeah, that's
they're monsters.
When I was a kid, I could do that. When I was like in elementary school, I could do anything on the rings.
Never in my life.
Your body weight was probably...
Yeah, I was like 60 pounds and I was a swimmer.
Eric, you're going to a good place about just getting out the door, getting started. The first day at the gym is always the hardest, but like...
Yeah,
you can form a habit of it really quick.
Like do whatever you need to do to make it easy for you to do it. Yeah. Like a simple example that they give sometimes on these things, let's do is like just, you know, having your gym, your workout clothes next to your bed, you know, like do that the night before, like that's halfway there. Right. And then you just get out of bed and you put them on or, you know, like whatever you can do to make it easy for yourself, I think is all that it takes to get the habit building. And then like once you get going, I was hearing something about like, if you do a habit for 28 days, then it takes 28 days for it to stick. There's some number in there, right? Like plus or minus 20, who knows? Right. But like,
I've heard 2 weeks,
but like the point being, you know, just try to make it easy initially and let it ramp up over time and just stick with it. But don't go into it thinking, you know, like I'm going to be a bodybuilder in a month or whatever. Like,
set the bar low. Going from zero to running, like sprinting is an easy way to hurt yourself.
Yeah. Too. Yeah. Yeah. Running is a really easy one because it's just do a half mile and do a 10-minute mile pace. Yeah, like
Couch to 5K is a really good program you can see online.
That's what I
wanna
do.
Really good progressions that are just like start like running for 30 seconds.
And it's the people I think about in my, who I know who became like, I have someone I know from high school who ended up becoming an Olympic rower, like singles rower, like rode for the US. And like even through all of high school and early college, he was just like, didn't do any kind of anything fitnessy. He just got really interested in the mechanics of rowing and then focused his way through that, like from nothing to Olympics. So it's like, and so you can do whatever you want. And there's plenty of stuff if you're like a person who just is interested in game mechanics, that sort of stuff. Like there's things to grab onto in workouts, I think, that, that are there that aren't just sort of like about enjoying the movement of your body. It can be about learning a system and practicing a system.
Yeah.
There's lots of different angles
there. I related the progression of weightlifting to leveling up in an RPG. Just like next time you're just that much a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all XP related, guys.
Yeah, and a part of what can help that feedback loop is if you take notes on the weights
that
you're doing,
important.
Keep track of that, and it's like, you know, next week you're adding a couple of pounds, and adding a couple of pounds every week for 10 weeks is a lot, right? Like all of a sudden you're starting to do a lot more. Like another thing that Tim Ferriss says, and it usually relates to diet, and I have friends who are coworkers in the past who are on the wrong side of this, where it's like they're always talking about a diet that they'll do, or they're talking about this really cool exercise they heard about. Like that's like, okay, which one's best, you know, but only in words, like intellectualizing these things. And so Tim Ferriss has this thing where it's like the perfect diet or exercise that you don't do is way worse than the imperfect diet or exercise you actually do. Right. And so that's kind of the idea. Like don't obsess over picking one and at the expense of actually doing it. Like, just find something that you think will get you moving and just start there, and then you can tune it over time.
You've got to move it. Move it.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. If you guys have any questions or topics you would like us to discuss, please email podcast@penny-arcade.com. Bye.
Bye.
Say bye.
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 Saps.
Or aloha or whatever or other
I'll
language.
I'll just flex.
Bye. Saps.
Oh, yeah. I can hear that.
Yep.
All right. Bye.
Bye.